Desire everyone's prayers again this evening. As always, it's a pleasure to get up, but a fear at the same time. Pleasure to get up and try to follow the will of the Lord, but a fear because of being a man and the propensity that we men have sometimes to move on our own volition. I would like to start off by writing something on the board. So what I wrote on the board was believing carelessly. And it's something we may not stop to think about, but do you know you might be able to believe carelessly? I want to start off by reading in Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 11, reading down to 14. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and are of not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I was thinking about this, the discernment between good and evil. Now, I have a niece and a nephew. They're both fairly young right now. Missy's got two more grandchildren. And they're of the age where if you put them on the floor and they're crawling around and they see something, they pick it up and they put it in their mouth. No discernment of, it doesn't look like there's very much thought beyond, I think it'll fit, and it goes for the mouth. There's no discernment of, is it food? Is it good for me? We kind of had to chuckle. We were putting flowers on Mom's grave on Mother's Day, and I think Emma was sitting on the grave, sitting there, and people had to keep an eye out for her, because the next thing you know, there's a rock headed for her mouth. So you get the rock out of her hand, then it's a leaf, and the leaf made it in the mouth, but then they got that out. And then a clod of dirt headed for the mouth. And what I want us to consider is, as Christians, what are we taking in? What are we feeding ourselves with? Are we actually discerning the things we should? Or are we just allowing things to come along and we pick it up and we just, like the little child, shove it in. Let's see what it tastes like. See if it's any good. Do you know we need to be discerning eaters of the thoughts and the ideas the world presents to us? The world would love to get us to think and to do certain things. I'd like to go now to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. And verse 10, this will be starting here. We're going to read a bit about the Bereans. 17 and verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. And one thing that has always struck me here is these folks were called more noble. More noble. Not just because they believed. It did say that, you know, they heard the word with a readiness of mind. They were open to the teaching of God. But you notice what they did? They applied discernment to what they heard. They said, we've had some good men come in. They're teaching us. Everything seems good. It seems proper. It seems in place. Let's go home and search the scriptures. Let's see if it all lines up. And one thing that really stands out to me is it says, and they search the scriptures daily. Do you know, us as humans, and I'm speaking for all of us, but as a manager, I've noticed this is fairly consistent across humans. You have people with good work ethics, but at the end of the day, if we can find an easier way to do things, we will try it. We as humans seem to have a natural inclination just every little bit slightly towards laziness. If I can find an easier way to do it, I will. So these Bereans had heard the preaching. They'd gone and checked the word. Yep, what they're saying lines up. And they went back for more teaching, because obviously daily implies this happened over multiple days. But they didn't stop searching the scripture, because they didn't just say, okay, well, I can trust this guy. He's teaching from the word, so now I can just go focus in on listening. No. Dare I say, what's the Bible talk about? Precept on precept, line upon line. And as those precepts and lines were being built, the Bereans, right back to the Bible. Let's check it out. Let's make sure it still lines up. Do you know what they were really saying when they did that? It wasn't a distrust for the brethren. It was a love for the Lord. I want to make sure whatever I'm doing matches what my Father wants me to do. So consider the information that the world sends to us today. I mean, pick which way you want to hear about it. We have so many different ways of communicating in our world today. We're just bombarded. What are you doing with that information? Are you considering the information? Are you looking at it and saying, does this kind of line up with the word? Does this line up with what I should be believing as a child of God? I want to remind folks, the devil quoted scripture to Christ. And did Christ say, oh, he's quoting scripture. I need to listen to this guy. No. Christ said, you know, tell you what, devil, let me read you another scripture that puts the full purpose and picture in here. Let me clarify what you're twisting out of line there. You know, thinking about building a house. If you want a house and you want to put it on a good foundation, what do? Do you just pick a spot on your land and figure if I put enough rocks and gravel and rebar and concrete in, it's just going to magically make a good foundation? I know when I worked for an engineering company in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we used to do what they call geotechnical surveys. Folks who want to build businesses or homes, oftentimes, of course, they have more hills in Oklahoma than we have here. But they would want to build on a hill. And they would want to know, will that hill support the weight of the structure I'm trying to put on it? So they would go, and they would want us to drill down and take samples and see, how deep is the rock? How solid is the rock? Is it fractured anywhere? Do you think they just had one hole drilled? We usually would do multiples. There was one site we drilled over 100 bore holes all over that place. I sometimes laugh because I'm like, well, if it wasn't stable before, it might not be now, because we just put holes all over that thing. But the idea was they wanted to make sure what they were building on was solid, that it was proper, that the foundation they intended to put on it would hold. Are we doing that with our spiritual lives? You know, we have to live in the world. We have to deal with the world. But when the world throws things at us, before we take it in, are we stopping to consider, is what's being said actually true? It may sound good, may sound reasonable, but what's the truth behind it? I would like to flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19, starting in verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, Then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. I wanted to bring this out because even back in the Old Testament, what we have here is not really, dare I say, a scriptural only guidance. This is talking civil matters. You see a man and he's erred. You're going to take him before the judge. Don't just take the first person's word that said he messed up. Don't accept the first thing you hear. Make sure there's more than one witness. Make sure you have witnesses' stories that corroborate each other. And notice how it also talks about beware of false witnesses, though. Do you know sometimes it's easy, we hear people start talking, we hear this person say something and that person say something, and we start saying, you know, I'm hearing more and more people say that. It might be true, or sometimes we even think it must be true. You know, we should be checking to see, are any of those false witnesses? Are they actually speaking the truth? And if you think that there might be some sketchiness, if you will, in the witnesses, it said that you were supposed to do a diligent inquiry. You weren't just supposed to say, okay, well, I'll still make a decision, even though I'm not quite sure. No, you were to stop with your decision making, and you were to vet out, what is this witness actually bringing? Is it truth or is it false? Why is it important for us to have valid witnesses in matters? Let's go look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. You know, if we're not sure of what we're hearing, if it's true or not, we can fall into one of these situations. Thinking of these things, pride, you can get lifted up on things. Lying. Do you know people lie for a variety of reasons? Sometimes they lie because they're scared. I've had employees. I had an employee one time. He had bought a $10 computer card on the company credit. It came into my office, and I need to reconcile the bills. That's just something you do as a manager. So I go to this employee and I'm like, okay, I see you bought this part. I need to know what computer it went in. Well, he starts him-hawing around, and come to find out he hadn't put it in any computer. It had gone home. Now, if he had just said, oh, I picked that up, it's at the house, I'll bring it back, I would have been willing to potentially have a conversation with him, say, you know what, that it's a small item, but when he was obviously trying to hide it, I couldn't trust him anymore. I had to make the choice at that point, because not only did you do something unethical and technically illegal, but then you're lying to cover it up. We need to watch out for things. Some other things here, where it says, hands that shed innocent blood. Do you know if we see things in the world, we need to consider, are innocent being people being harmed or taken advantage of by this? Is this something that we see? Also, it says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Do you know that our world is full of people that are bent on fabricating stories to push their agendas? We see it all the time. When we hear those agendas, are we being discerning to say, is what this person's saying true or not? There's another one here. You know, you got the false witness, but there's also one that feet that be swift in running to mischief. Have you ever been around folks that just can't seem to stay out of a controversy? They're always stirring something up. They're always asking questions. Have you heard about this? What do you think about that? You know, which side would you take? Folks, I would be cautious around that spirit. It's not a good spirit. The false witnesses, do you know a false witness is one who says I'm speaking the truth? But they're not. And then people that sow discord among brethren. To me, that is a terrible thing to do. All of these things cause division and strife, and we need to be careful about getting caught up in them. In this time of uncertainty, it seems like a lot of people in the world are questioning lots of things. I don't have a problem with questions, because if you think about it, that's what the Bereans were doing when they went and searched the scriptures. They were saying, you know, we still have maybe a few questions. We want to nail this down solid. But I would be careful if we start accepting answers without validating the facts and the information behind them. I would ask us, when we're looking at things the world's presenting today, are we considering how does that line up with what the Bible teaches? Because there's things that will sound good from a social viewpoint, but if you dig into it, it's maybe not really in alignment with the Bible. And we need to watch out for that. Going to Proverbs 14 and verses 7 and 8. It says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceiveth not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Do we allow ourselves to be readily influenced by other people? Somebody that starts talking, they talk fast, it seems to be making sense, and have you ever met that slick talking salesperson that he just wants to make the sale? And he'll start going after you, and he just wants to make the sale. And he'll say things, and you might find out later that he didn't exactly tell you the truth about all that thing that he was selling. There were some parts of it that, if you'd have known, you might not have bought. But either he didn't bring that up, or sometimes he answered your question in a way to where it could be taken two different ways, and if you took it the way you wanted to hear, then great, he made a sale. And he, dare I say, in the eyes of the world, with the air quotes, didn't really lie to you. You had to make the choice what to believe. So I would challenge us. Are we making the choice what to believe? So I'm going to ask you a question. Most atheists are very studied in the Bible. Would you be willing to accept scriptural advice from an atheist? Why wouldn't you? Because I see a lot of the looks even for the few in the congregation. No, I wouldn't. You know what it talks about? The folly of a fool is deceit. The atheist, if he's given a Bible study class, he's probably not doing it to further the gospel. He's got a different motive to it. He's got an underlying motive that's not probably right. When we look at the things that the world is presenting to us, are we considering that? What did it say there? The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. So we do well to understand, if I go this way, if I follow what's being put out, what am I truly following? What is this way? Where does it lead? Let's look to the end of the matter, not just at the beginning. Let's look at Proverbs 21 and 29. It says, a wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. One of the things that I see oftentimes in the world when it comes to issues and matters is people will become, dare I say, obstinate. They would become harsh on a matter. They will start making statements along the lines of ultimatums. If you don't believe my way, you're just wrong. When I was in college, there was a young man on the dorm floor, and we had quite the variety of believers of different faiths on that floor. We had Hindus, we had a Muslim, we had Baptists, we had myself, non-denominational, we had Catholics, we had agnostics. I mean, we had a mix. And there for a while, we started getting together and actually having conversations about, why do you believe that way? Well, I believe this way. And it was really open, cordial conversation, people learning about the differences of beliefs and having good, I'm going to say, critical conversations, but not arrogant or angry conversations. And then a new guy joined the floor. And do you know what his nickname ended up being before the end of the first session? His nickname was the Christian Fundamentalist with Fangs. Because if you did not absolutely instantly agree with anything he said, you were going to hell. Period. That was it. He knew the right way. You didn't instantly fall in line. No hope for you. Do you know there's all kinds of people with ideas that they may sound good, but do you know we need to be careful? If we find ourselves becoming harsh or hard with those, we may be out of line. We have to stand on the Word of God. We have to. We can't yield. But you know that stand should always, always be from a position of love. A position of, I don't want to hurt you, but I have to disagree with you. This is the teaching of the Bible. I can't change this. It's what is written. So we need to be careful if what we're seeing and hearing starts getting into us a spirit of harshness, a set that becomes obstinate, a hardening, if you will, of our face. Now I want to go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, starting in verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. I want us to think about, what do we take into our minds? Do you know, you can have a thought come into your mind. There should be a vetting process in your mind of, is this something that has value? Or is this something that I should put out with the draught? This is something that it has no value. I'm not going to keep it. I'm not going to retain it. I'm not going to try to get anything out of it. It's useless to me. I'm letting this one go. We should be doing that. But I would ask us, what thoughts are you holding on to? What thoughts are you starting to ponder on? Because how do you think that's going to start affecting your heart if you start pondering on these things? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So here we start seeing that we are expected to hear, to take thoughts in, to take words were said, and the good ones, bring them into our heart. For they are life unto them, those that find them, and health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, we need to be looking carefully at the things that we take in. The things that and I'm going to use the term we potentially allow to bother our mind even. I will speak for myself on this, not for anyone else. There's times I feel like the devil will get things, topics, and he will just start pinging my brain. And if I'm not careful, next thing you know, I've spent quite a bit of time pondering that thing. And it may not be something I should waste my time pondering on. It's oftentimes just gets people worked up, maybe even me. And at the end of the day, when I ponder it and I look, how does that line up with the scripture? A lot of times I find it doesn't line up at all. One of the things I want us to think about is if we allow these thoughts into our minds and then we start pondering them and allow them into our hearts, what happens when those thoughts begin to grow? Do you know what will happen one day? You'll find an enemy attacking you from the inside where you're sitting there wondering, how did he get in there? I didn't see that coming. Where did he come from? In Proverbs 24, verses 30 and 31, it says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Do you know that you can have the strongest stone wall, but if you neglect to care for it, if you're not careful what grows around that stone wall, you can get a tree that puts a root under that stone wall, and next thing you know, you've got a crack. You can get vines to start growing into that crack, and then you got more cracks, and then you have chunks falling out of the wall. Now, if an enemy is sitting there watching that, thinking, you know what, that spot's getting kind of weak, he might go by and sow some seed. Another couple of years, I'll be ready to attack. If you don't think that the mortal enemy of our souls is not that patient, you're wrong. He is definitely that patient. He's willing to throw the seeds out there. Will that one germinate? Nope. Well, I'll try a different seed. I'll put this one out there. Can I get to grow? Ah, that one landed in a crack. That's going to do good. A couple of years maybe, but it's going to do good. I'm going to see fruit from that one. Are we looking at our hearts and trying to make sure that we're not allowing things to grow in there that's going to destroy us from the inside spiritually? I want to flip over to John 14 and 27. John 14, verse 27. This is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you know this is one of the things we should be looking at when we're deciding what things come into our hearts? Jesus didn't send stuff to us to discourage us, to make us fearful. Oh, he said we'd have trials and tribulations. Those things we would see. But there's a peace. Are you allowing that peace to reign in your soul? Thinking of Christ and his disciples there at the end, they were getting ready to go out into the garden. And I believe a comment had been made that they maybe needed to get weapons. And somebody said, well, we've got two swords here. And Christ said, that's good. That's enough. We don't need any more. And they went out into the garden. And of course, they prayed. And then The soldiers come and they're taking Christ, and what does Peter do? Grabs that sword. Well, Christ kind of said something about defending ourselves, right? So time to get started. What did Christ say? Put that sword up. Put that sword up. He later on said, if my people were of this world, they would fight. But they're not. Do you know what he actually wanted Peter to do? What was it he told Peter after he arose? He told it to Peter 3 times. He didn't tell Peter, go and defend my teachings and go raise an army and charge off through the land. No. He said, Peter, feed my sheep. Feed them. Make sure they're healthy. Make sure they have nourishment. Make sure they're strong. I would challenge us this evening. Are we attempting to win more sheep for the Lord, even during these trying times? Or are we potentially, dare I say, unintentionally maybe even sowing discord, allowing the peace to be disturbed? And because, have any of y'all ever felt, and I'm speaking for myself here, sometimes you can be having a bad day and the rest of your family having a good day, but before the day's over with, you fix that problem. Meaning y'all now having a bad day. And it's not their fault. Sometimes I have problems. I'm working on them. But you know, are we allowing things into our minds that's disturbing the peace that the Lord would have for us? I would challenge all of us, let's not be children. Let's be discerning of what we pick up and take into our hearts and minds. You all pray for me.